order for Cell Phone Day. Welcome, everyone. We have a measure introduction first on the agenda. Do we have just this one, Council?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll open a work session on LC 2350, or measure introduction. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move LC 2350 be introduced as a committee bill.
Senator Beyer has moved LC 2350 is introduced as a committee bill. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Okay, we will now open a public hearing on Senate Bill 293 and Senate Bill 521. So for people who come up and testify, they can talk about both of these bills or just one of these bills. So we'll open the public hearing. Council, could you go over these bills, please?
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. Senate Bill 293 and Senate Bill 521 both relate to driving. With Senate Bill 293, what's going on is presently Oregon has no prohibition on the use of cell phones while driving. In fact, Oregon law specifically prohibits any city, county, or other local government from enacting such regulations. What Senate Bill 293 does is it imposes such restrictions on a statewide level. It prohibits the use of mobile communication devices while operating a motor vehicle on a highway. There's a specific exception within Senate Bill 293 for devices with a hands-free accessory, which refers to anything that, when used, allows a person to keep both hands on the steering wheel. Senate Bill 293 also specifically exempts ambulances, emergency vehicles, and certain persons summoning help in an emergency. The offense is a Class A traffic violation. Senate Bill 521 regulates the same area, but on a more comprehensive level. It creates an offense for distracted driving. So for Senate Bill 521, that would include, but not be limited to, cell phones, regardless of whether there's a hands-free accessory, reading, writing, personal grooming, interacting with pets, or any similar type activity. There are also specific exceptions in Senate Bill 521 for ambulances, emergency vehicles, or persons summoning help in an emergency. And with Senate Bill 521, the offense is a Class B traffic violation.
Okay, thank you. We will start off today. Senator Kuczynski.
Before we start, since we got the clarification on the two bills, I was wondering if Council could tell us what the difference would be on SB 521 and careless driving, why careless driving wouldn't include some of those concerns that are addressed in SB 521.
Thank you, Senator Kuczynski. With the offense of careless driving, at least just my limited take on it from a prosecution type perspective is that careless driving is typically only charged, it's kind of the effect. So you're doing these things and you drive poorly, therefore careless driving is charged. With Senate Bill 521, you could be driving fine at the moment, but doing personal grooming or talking on a cell phone, that in and of itself is a ticketable offense versus the bad driving element.
Right. I just want to get that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you for getting that on the record. We will start off today with Representative Andy Olson, who is a chief sponsor of this legislation, and he is will be joined by Jeff Lady and Alan Hageman. Welcome, Representative Olson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. To address an issue that Council had shared just briefly about the intent of the bill and everything, that will be revealed as we share with that, and then I'll just kind of address your comments to Senator Kuczynski too as well.
Representative Olson, for the record, will you be testifying mainly on Senate Bill 521?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Andy Olson. I'm a state representative from the Albany area. I speak to Senate Bill 521 from two perspectives, having served with the Oregon State Police for 29 years and then having served as the Vice Chair of the House Judiciary Committee last session and during the interim. This bill basically is the old driving while encumbered statute Oregon once had on the books before the revision of the Motor Vehicle Code in the early 1980s. This is a simple bill and addresses simple things but has the ability to greatly impact the safety and welfare of people on our highways throughout the state. The bill does a number of things. Specifically, it does not restrict the use of cellular phone while driving. It focuses on driving behavior rather than restricting the act. It identifies a number of activities that can cause a driver to divert their attention, but is not limited to those activities alone. It allows an officer to take action based upon prima facie evidence. It simply says you can use your cell phone while operating a motor vehicle as long as it does not interfere with safe driving behavior. One may ask, don't we have enough laws on the books that would address different, different issues right now while one is driving? Yes, it does. Yeah, or yes, we do. We do have failure to maintain a single lane of travel. We do have failure to drive to the right. We do have careless and reckless driving, as Senator Prezansky asked, and a host of other laws. But we do not have a statute that addresses driving behavior due to the activity of the of this nature. And let me share a couple of examples. And actually, Senator, if you'd be so kind as to share a voice message that I left for you last week on your cell phone with everyone here in the committee, that's one of the examples that I'd like to share with you.
Okay. For the audience, this is a message that Representative Olson left on my cell phone. Now, in the interest of occupying the higher moral ground, I did not answer my cell phone. That is why the message is there. I was traveling, and so was Representative Olson. I will let the facts speak for themselves. And I will play this. I will attempt to play this on the microphone. And if it doesn't work well, then Representative Olson, you will have to tell the story again.
Operator error.
Exactly.
Those things weren't allowed in committee.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Prezansky.
So, Representative, I assume you used your powers as a civilian and pulled her over and gave her a citation under 153?
Negative, sir.
Okay, please proceed, Representative Olson. Was everybody in the audience able to get the gist of that? Thank you. You won't have to repeat
it. Well, you know, the one point that I did want to share with that, now that you've shared that, and thank you very kindly, Senator, is that what caused my attention to this driver is she didn't violate the law, like traveling over the fog line or traveling over the center line, maintaining a single lane of travel, meeting those elements. She didn't interfere with the movement of any other vehicle. But her driving behavior was weaving back and forth, and that alone, to me, was prima facie evidence to say that that evidence alone caused me to believe that she would be fulfilling the action of what, or the elements of what this bill is trying to drive. So, yeah, drive. So, anyways, and then when I came up alongside her, seeing that, in fact, she had two elements involved in distracting her driving to cause her behavior to be, that I felt most definitely was a piece of where I'm wanting to go. Another story that I just want to share quickly, and this occurred years ago when I was a lieutenant out of the Beaverton Patrol Office. I'm in a marked patrol car traveling north on Interstate 5 near the Tualatin area, and a vehicle passes by me. It was a Mercedes, extremely high rate of speed, and it was a lady driving, but she was on her cell phone, and she was oblivious to me and anybody else, but she was traveling at an extremely high rate of speed. I eventually was able to get her stopped up near Highway 217, and she stayed on the phone the whole time talking to her mother about wedding plans. Why she was issued a citation. But, okay, you know, the only other thing that she did that was outside of the norm, really, was that she wasn't paying any attention to what was happening around her, obviously, but she was speeding. And she wasn't driving erratic or anything. But this is an opportunity under that set of circumstances to have given a choice to an officer to either issue a citation for speeding or for driving while distracted. And that's why I'm saying that also at the same time as I share this, that this could be a good educational piece from us as legislators to step out and say, you know, we understand the need for cell phones out there. but also at the same time, because of it being a distraction, pay attention. This is what happens. This is the tool that we're now giving to law enforcement to deal with it. So kind of in closing then, it's not okay to use your cell phone, read, eat, ride with your doggy, shave and put lipstick on while you're operating a motor vehicle. When those activities interfere with the safe operation of a vehicle combined with unsafe driving behavior, the driver is subject to a citation. And I also, if you notice, passed out a chart for you. And Laura Stewart from the Patrol Division with the Oregon State Police put this together for me. Statistics that ODOT has collected from 2001 up to 05 shows the first column there is pretty self-explanatory, but total crashes in 05 were 44,877. Of those, there were 443 fatalities. Four of those 444 were considered as a causation from the use of cell phones. And then you can kind of see the involvement with the use of cell phones all the way across. Not a significant impact with the use of cell phones, but I do think that this bill would have some impact on preventing that.
Representative Wilson, as a former trooper, how do they determine whether someone was on a cell phone at an accident scene? Obviously, they can't ask the person if it's a fatality. How do they determine whether a cell phone?
Well, you know, actually, I have Sergeant Alan Hageman with me and also Senior Trooper Jeff Lady with me, and they would be excellent right now to answer that question for you.
Okay, well, we'll move. Before we move on, are there questions of Representative Olson?
Madam Chair.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you. I guess the one question, you said this bill mirrors driving while encumbered, what used to be on the books. I guess I'd like to know when it was on the books, when it was taken off the books, and why.
It was during a rewrite, Madam Chair, Senator Beyer. It was during the restructure of the laws back in 1984. And during that time period, there was different sections that kind of just went out into different areas throughout the Motor Vehicle Code, like failure to maintain, failure to drive to the right, those type of things.
Madam Chair, follow-up.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you. You know, you've been building a couple of sessions. I've been here quite a while. I find it rare things just inadvertently get left out or get added. And so there must have been a reason some of these things were not included in the new code.
If you're, Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, if you're thinking along the line of that there was misuse or that there was no proper use of driving while encumbered back then, I do not recall that. I thought it was an excellent law at that time, being a trooper at that time as well. But, you know, I honestly cannot explain the reason why, other than what legislative counsel shared with me.
Okay.
Just that it kind of diverted out.
Madam Chair, perhaps if someone could get us some history, what happened in, was it about 84, you said, 85?
Yes.
Why it was, the laws were changed and they were taken out. It'd be interesting to know that.
Thank you, Senator Beyer. We'll ask counsel to do that research. Okay, we'll move on to our next witness, whichever you want to go first.
Go ahead.
Sure. Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Alan Hageman. I'm a sergeant with the State Police. I'm assigned to General Headquarters. I also bring two perspectives from the law enforcement community on this. One is transportation safety. Obviously, our concern is the safe and efficient movement of traffic. The second perspective I bring is that of the officer's safety. Statistically, and this is on a this is national, but Oregon's a reflection of this. But motor vehicle crashes have surpassed felonious assaults as the leading cause of fatalities for police officers. We saw a little bit of an illustration of that Sunday evening when a Multnomah deputy was struck while he was assisting a motorist with a tire change. He wasn't apparently wasn't severely injured, and I can't attribute that to talking on a cell phone or some other distraction. But again, it does illustrate the dangers that we're facing out there right now. They're not, as I said, they're not the felons with guns that are our number one concern anymore. Senate Bill 521 is the more comprehensive of the two bills, and it speaks to more than cell phones, which I agree with, because our problems out there are broader than just people talking on cell phones. That is all I have, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Jeff Leedy. I'm the president of the Oregon State Police Officers Association. I'm also a senior trooper in the Oregon State Police and have been for 20 years, 15 of which I've spent on patrol. I can add one thing I want to do is answer your question on how do we know that the cell phone was in usage at the time of an accident. It's not easy. Most of the time when we have to, there's a check off on the back of a DMV accident form and about cell phone usage. And of the hundreds and hundreds of accidents I've covered, the only time I've been able to do that, check that off, is when I get a witness statement. It says, yeah, they went by me, they were on their cell phone, they ran the stop sign, and an accident occurred. Or I'll ask the person themselves, the driver. Very seldom do I hear, yes, I was on a cell phone. But occasionally they'll say, yeah, I was on the cell phone, and I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. That's how normally we'll find out.
So it's only by voluntary disclosure that you find out?
Yeah, we don't seize their cell phones and go through their records. Unless, now there could be a time when a crime has been committed, such as a negligent homicide or a manslaughter in the case of a vehicle, where cell phone records would be subpoenaed and used as evidence, but that's the only time that I could think of that would happen.
Okay. So in your professional opinion, having been out in the road quite a bit, do you think that the use of cell phone in crashes is an underreported situation?
It could be, but I think Representative Olson is absolutely correct, and it's more than just cell phones. And you can't target cell phones as the issue. It's the driver. It's the cup of coffee. It's the cup of coffee and the cell phone. It's the cell phone and writing down notes as they're going down the road.
You're getting personal.
Yeah. But it's the cell phone reading the paper. It's the paper and the cup of coffee. It's inattentive driving is what it is. It's not paying attention. A cell phone is merely one of those issues. It's the family beagle on your lap. In my 15 years of work on the road, I have seen it all. I was a motor officer for 5 years. I have ridden beside people as they're reading books to their children in the back seat. Their feet on the dash, eating from a plate of food, reading magazines of all sorts.
What would you say?
I have seen it. It's not just cell phones. It's the driving itself, and it's what they're doing inside the car. So. Somebody, just because somebody's drinking a cup of coffee is not going to make them, may not distract them. Using a cell phone may not distract them. Reading a magazine or a newspaper, I would say, would. But we're in favor of Senate Bill 521. I'm not in favor of just outright banning of cell phone usage in cars.
You don't think it's comprehensive enough?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Do you also think, because sometimes we're going to hear some testimony later equating to the use of a cell phone to being intoxicated or legally intoxicated, like .08. Would you say that not everybody on a cell phone is a hazard? Would you say that not everybody with a .08 is a hazard as well?
I'm sorry, I don't. Can you explain that to
me? I'm talking about blood alcohol level. I'm kind of...
Blood alcohol level at a .08 means nothing as far as impairment. Mm-hmm. That's the legal limit to where DMV mm-hmm. will suspend your license at. I've arrested many, many, many impaired drivers that are far below an .08. I'm a cheap drunk. I don't think I could drink myself to an .03. I'm serious. But I know that I could not drive at an 03. I'm guessing that's probably my level of impairment. I've also arrested people that are walking and talking at a .34. The level, that's just a number that DMV has put on there. If you're impaired, you're impaired.
Okay. And do you have any, as troopers, do you have any suggestions on how, one of the things I look at with these bills is how do you frame a bill so that you're really catching impairment, but you're catching it before somebody causes some damage. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm sorry, are we talking about the same bill here, Madam Chair, 521?
Well, we're talking more about 521, because we're talking about driving while distracted.
You're distracted, what I'm looking for, we get reports of impaired drivers all the time, weaving, going over the center line, hitting the fog line, and somebody on a cell phone will call those in. So I'm following a drunk driver. and we will race to that, you know, hopefully if there happens to be a trooper out on a rare occasion, we'll race and we'll try to overtake that driver. And many, many times I've been behind a driver and said, yeah, looks like an intoxicated driver to me. I'll stop them. They can be on a cell phone. I've had them stuff magazines and books under the seat. There'll be a plate of food, a hamburger, a soda, and they're just distracted.
So it's short of this kind of extreme behavior. Like, for example, one of the some of the studies show that the reaction time is a lot slower. So if someone stops in front of you, you're far more likely to hit them if you're on a cell phone because your reaction time is slower. And yet you could be driving perfectly straight, but if something happens, you're impaired. Is there any way in your experience that you could catch those people before they cause damage?
See if I can understand what you're asking. If I observe somebody that is not paying attention, I can stop them. I mean, under 520, I could stop them. I could issue a warning for distracted driving. I could issue a citation for distracted driving, depending on what the incident would be. Does that make them... Is the simple use of a cell phone going to cause an accident? I don't believe so. No more so than drinking a cup of coffee, but you have to be paying attention. Mm-hmm. If you rear-end somebody, there are more problems than just talking on a cell phone. You're following too close in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Senator Beyer.
Thank you. And I guess any of you could answer. I got a couple questions on this, but I think it was counsel answered the question about under this bill, would the act of talking on a cell phone, would that be evidence enough for you as a trooper to pull somebody over and give them a ticket for this, or would it have to be an observance of their driving ability under the language that's in 521?
Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, I think there would have to be more than just seeing somebody talking on a cell phone. There has to be some driving involved, prima facie evidence that there's some distraction going on. Does that answer your question,
up?
Sir?
Yeah, that follow-up. I guess under distracting activities, you've got to include but not limited to. One thing I don't see in there is just talking to someone else in the vehicle or kids in the vehicle. I mean, as a parent myself, there's not much, having kids fight in the back seat is probably one of the most distracting things you can have.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not listed, but we've got the language of not limited to. So is that something you would see if you see a parent driving with kids in the vehicle that are raising a ruckus? Would you pull them over for that?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Barr, that is a portion that would be considered toward that. Or better yet, that would be a part of the elements.
Thank you. Senator Cruz, do you have a question?
It was just interesting when you were talking about somebody calling in on a cell phone to report a drunk driver, you'd have to cite both of them under this, wouldn't you?
and that is one of my concerns, is I don't want people to be timid about calling in a drunk driver, calling in an impaired driver or a hazard. They might, I'm sure there's a provision in it that would exempt them, but there's going to be those people out there, and well, I'm not calling in because I'm not getting a ticket.
Yeah, for the record, there is an exemption for emergency calls.
And also, I'd like to say the very worst traffic crash I have ever been to and investigated was a young mother who was turning around to talk to one of the two youngsters in the back, and drove across the center line, took a pickup head-on, killed all three of them.
Oh, that's very sad. Okay, other questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now we have some national witnesses that I'll let council to describe and dial in and connect us with. And I apologize to the audience that these had to be by phone, but I wanted to get the information on the record. There are backup studies to go with the testimony that is about to occur. And if anybody in the audience needs copies of any of this information or studies, just let our committee staff know if we run out, and we will make sure that you get provided.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. The persons that we're calling are with the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety in Arlington, Virginia. Steve Esch is the Senior Vice President for Insurer and Government Relations, and Dr. Ann McCart is the Senior Vice President for Research. Let's see if this works.
Okay. Technology again, folks. loud.
Hello, this is Steve Ash.
Steve, hi, it's Darian with the Judiciary Committee. Is Dr. McCart there with you as well?
Yes, she is.
Great, I believe you're on speaker.
All right.
Okay, welcome to the committee, to both of you, and we look forward to hearing your testimony. So why don't you go ahead? We have a room full of people here who are anxious to hear what you have to say. And if you could give your names for the record, that would be great.
Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. My name is Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Esch, O-E-S-C-H, and I'm accompanied by Dr. A-N-N-E McCart, M-C-C-A-R-T-T. Again, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is a nonprofit research and communication organization that identifies ways to reduce the deaths, injuries, and property damage on our nation's highways. We are supported by U.S. automobile insurers. The Institute is submitting for the record information about the effects of cell phone use on motor vehicle crash risk. Let me briefly summarize that research. In 2005, the Institute released the results of research it did in Australia to measure the crash risk associated with using a cell phone. We found that drivers using cell phones are four times as likely to get into injury crashes. That fourfold increase in injury crash risk was consistent across a group of drivers. Male and female drivers experienced about the same increase in risk. So did drivers older and younger than 30. And, very importantly, drivers using handheld versus hand-free phones. The findings of the Institute study are consistent with a 1997 study done by Canadian researchers that showed that cell phone use was associated, again, with a fourfold increase, and in this case, it was in the risk of a property damage crash. Our study looked at injury crashes. The Canadians looked at property damage crashes. Taken together, the Institute and Canadian studies confirm that the distractions associated with cell phone use, including the cognitive distractions from phone conversations, contribute significantly to crashes. The results from the Institute and Canadian studies suggest that banning handheld phone use won't necessarily enhance safety if drivers simply switch to hands-free phones. Injury and property damage crash risk didn't differ from one type of reported phone use to the other. Recognize this as an intuitive. You would think that using a hands-free phone would be less distracting, so it wouldn't increase crash risk as much as a handheld phone. But our research and a Canadian research found that either phone type increases the risk. I'd like to just touch briefly on the need for well-publicized enforcement if a law is enacted. In 2001, New York became the first U.S. state to enact a law banning the use of handheld cell phones while driving. Institute researchers monitored the effectiveness of the law in reducing cell phone use. Immediately following enactment of the law, researchers found about a 50% decline in phone use rates. However, when researchers measured cell phone use rates 1 year after enactment, they found that the use rates had returned almost to levels observed before the law went into effect. Institute researchers also evaluated the effectiveness of the Distracted Driving Safety Act, which went into effect in July 2005 in the District of Columbia. The act prohibits all forms of inattentive driving that result in unsafe operation of a motor vehicle. The law also bans talking on handheld phones. Researchers found talking on handheld phones declined significantly from just over 6% before the law to 3.5% shortly after the law was enacted. When we measured what the cell phone usage a year later, usage had risen to about 4%, but was still significantly lower than before the law. The New York cell phone law, and to some extent the D.C. law, illustrate a typical pattern when a new traffic safety law is introduced. Initial compliance is followed by a gradual return to previous behavior
unless, and this is a very crucial, unless there is enforcement that's well publicized and vigorous, should Oregon decide to enact legislation on cell phone use while driving, it is crucial that the new law be accompanied by strong and well publicized enforcement. Again, I want to thank the committee for the opportunity, for providing the Institute with the opportunity to speak about our existing research on cell phone use and crash risk. Dr. McCart and I would be glad to answer any questions that the chair and other members of the committee might have.
Mr. Osh, can you comment? These studies that showed four times more likelihood of a crash were done in other countries. Our statistics are not that extreme from our actual crashes in Oregon. Can you comment about how these results could have differed?
Well, let me explain the reason that we did these studies. Our study was done in Australia, and the other study was done in Canada. And we had attempted, we had wanted to do this research in the United States. But one of the key elements of this research is you need to have access to the phone records of the driver to determine whether the cell phone was in use at the time of the crash. That's not possible here in the United States. The cell phone carriers would not provide us access to that information. So, regretfully, we were not able to do some direct measures here in the United States of what was the type of increase in the risk. I'll ask Dr. McCart, is there anything that you would like to add to that?
No, I think Steve covered it. We do believe, however, that the findings would be the findings both in Canada and Australia would be consistent with what we would expect to find in the U.S.
Okay, well, thank you very much for making yourselves available. I will ask at this time if there are other questions from the committee. Senator Beyer? Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your participation. You may be hearing more from us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it.
Okay. We have a policy in our committee of giving moving people who come from long distances to the head of the line. So we have two people who have signed up as coming from more than 100 miles away, Graham Covington and Don Cherry. And so if the two of you could come up, we'll hear from both of you.
Madam Chair, while they're coming up, I've asked another question. I see Representative Olson has left. So maybe the committee staff can find the answer. But if you look at the chart he handed out, I didn't pick this up while I was here, but from 2002 to 2003, we went from 80 crashes involving cell phones to 201. And I guess I'd be curious to know who compiled these figures and what is different, because either I can't believe cell phone usage went up threefold in 1 year's time. So if they were getting data in a different way, or why the dramatic jump in that one reporting period.
You know, Senator Beyer, in a few minutes we're going to hear from someone from ODOT, from the safety end of it, so possibly we can get that information then. That's a good question. Okay, welcome to the committee.
Hi, my name is Don Cherry, and I come to you today from Douglas County.
We have one of those on the committee.
I see that.
Two, actually.
We have two, yes.
Sunday afternoon, I got a call alerting me to this hearing and was invited to come. And I was just floored to find out that my name was given to this gentleman for reference from various areas around the state. So I took that as an indication that I really should come and give my piece. I come as a citizen of Oregon, although my background comes out of a safety-oriented type of adult education. I have a little more, probably about 15 years in safety training, and a lot of it was focused around transportation safety, and specifically adult training on defensive driving. And I think because of that experience is how my name got brought up. Besides, the rest of my colleagues are chickens and don't want to go on the hot seat. But to me, this is truly a spectacular opportunity to come and talk to you, and I certainly commend you on your courage on taking on such a subject. Since the call on Sunday, I have been talking up the subject with those, my colleagues, friends, relatives, and those that live in the Roseburg area, and I can tell you that this is probably one of the hottest subjects I could ever initiate with these people. Everybody has an opinion, and everybody is affected by this particular issue, whether they own a cell phone or not, or whether they drive a car or not. This is an issue that is all-encompassing. So I find that as probably as unique as you'll ever find on an issue that seems so not that big an issue. But it truly is. I have had comments on how this will be detrimental to contractors. And as you know, coming from Douglas County, we cover great distances where it's a rural area, not heavily traveled. I can tell you that when I go to work early in the morning, I notice that contractors are on the phone doing business. A lot of these are small, maybe one or two person businesses that basically they run their office out of a pickup cab. So I hear those types of comments about how it will affect the bottom line. I also understand that in my work over the years, I've been involved with business folks on the corporate level, and I understand that some corporations that are in the trucking business are banning cell phones, and I can certainly appreciate that perspective also. So one of the questions that came up is this: what is the real issue? Is it the cell phones themselves or the distractions? So when Mr. Sanford sent me a copy of the two bills, I read the first one and I thought, well, this is pretty narrow. This is a bill that really I don't see getting much support. But when
talking
I read
about
this,
Senate Bill
293, yes, thank you. But when I read on and read Senate Bill 521, I thought, well, this is more of a position to work from, because in my background in teaching defensive driving, I do teach basics, and that bill touches on one of the aspects of defensive driving, talking about when you drive a car, you actually have to drive the vehicle. So that fed more into the beliefs that I have worked with that have been successful with adult learning. Some of the other things in adult learning for driving a car, and it's kind of odd to say that, but a lot of us, once we get our licenses to drive a car, that's about the last time we read up on it. But once we enter into an environment where you have the opportunity to get more training, such as defensive driving, I have learned that adults are just fascinated and really grab hold of the basics that they can learn about operating a vehicle. So understanding the responsibility, giving people permission to drive their cars by letting them understand how that is done. And I find it interesting to read about the perspective of having both hands on the wheel, how important that is.
Mr. Cherry, could you, we're kind of getting
okay.
a little short on time because we have so many people who signed up. Could you maybe address the merits of the bill from your perspective? That would be very helpful.
I will. Thank you for cutting me off.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's fine. I wrote a real short thing on it. This will go quick. The Senate Bill 521 is certainly, in my perspective, coming from my background, a more workable position to be in. I really appreciate the testimony that came from the police officers that were here. I thought they did a very good job. But from my point of view, I think adult education should certainly be a facet, if it can be, tied to a bill like this that will help support that. That's really the gist of where I'm coming from. One short little story and I'll quit.
Okay, very quick.
I recently bought a lawnmower last summer. When I bought that lawnmower, I got more instruction on the operation and safety of that lawnmower than I got when I bought my cell phone a couple of years ago. To me, that is very interesting where a cell phone is just a small piece of driving, has such a profound effect on our behavior in a vehicle, life-altering material damage. But yet the lawnmower, I was very well versed on it when I got it home. So to me, that kind of puts a different light on where are the responsibilities in those kinds of products that we do purchase.
I appreciate that comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there questions from the committee, especially from our Douglas County people?
No, good to see you. Well, I'd just say maybe a light moment on the instruction on lawnmower. I don't think you can run over your foot with a cell phone and cut your toes off. So
maybe talking while mowing.
Maybe others might want to cut your toes off. But
well,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming. Now, Graham Covington did not come up that round. Is he here now? Welcome, Mr. Covington.
Madam Chair, I apologize for having to leave in a few minutes, but I do have a meeting in the President's office. So.
Okay, well, Senator Cruz, we will get you a DVD of this. Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Covington. I'd like all of us to kind of be conscious of time here so that everybody gets a chance to speak. Thank you for coming.
I will be as brief as I can. I brought my my prop.
And introduce yourself for the record.
I will. My name is Graham Covington. I am an ordinary citizen. I currently help run a supplementary education nonprofit in Portland called Minds Matter. I am here to tell you just a brief story then, given the time pressures. Before my current nonprofit occupation, I worked for Boise Cascade for 33 years, and during the my autumn years, we made a decision based on all of the research that many of you will hear today and some of you heard from the Institute in Washington, D.C. We made a decision back in 2004 to ban the use of cell phones throughout our corporation, both handheld and hands-free, because we were persuaded by all of the data that the safety issue was too compelling. And in our company at the time, and still is, it's the number one virtue in our company is safety. So we banned it, and we made it an offense that was subject to termination. We also had the same exceptions in our program that were described in some of the bills you have here, which is for emergency use and what have you. So I would say this. Subsequent to that, I, as a citizen, went to the Portland City Council and asked if they would sponsor an effort to ban the use of handheld and hands-free cell phones on the basis of the data that we had accumulated throughout the city. They said they'd like very much to do that, but their hands were tied. The state of Oregon had passed a law that made it illegal for municipalities, as you pointed out earlier, to restrict the use of cell phones in any municipality. So I asked what's next, and they sent me to Charlie Ringo, and I had a conversation with him, and he, along with Senator Pruzanski, enabled me to work with your legislative folks and your legal folks to help draft elements of both bills, which is why I'm sitting here. Essentially, my argument to the City Council and Mayor Potter was that the jury is in on the research. We all are on the same page on this. Driving a vehicle is serious business. We all have a safety of the individuals and the community at large in mind. And we all have anecdotal evidence of having driven behind drivers who signal right and go left, who run stop signs, who run through intersections. And the data will show you that they run through intersections, have people in them, causing very serious damage to the people and to property and everything else. And so I asked that the City Council do this. I said for several reasons, and I'll just rattle them off. One is, of course, the data is there. It's overwhelming. It's a tsunami wave coming at the you folks that will tell you that there's you don't need to wait for the marginal information to persuade yourself that you have to do something. The notion of cognitive distraction has been brought up. That means you can't do two things at once. It's the same thing as when you're talking on a telephone, your spouse asks you to tell whomever you're talking to tell them something. You can't do it. You have to lay the phone down and say, what? Secondly, there's something called inattention deficit, inattention blindness. What that means is you gaze, but you don't see. That's the reason why people driving home the same route for 20 years run a stop sign and kill somebody on the other side. So the phrase, keep your eye on the road, is no longer relevant in today's technology. You have to keep your mind on the road, and the cell phone does not permit you to do that, according to the data. The second question asked by insurance companies today after an accident is, was anyone on a cell phone? The first question is, was anybody drinking? Corporations have taken it into their own hands. We, Boise, along with several others, some are mentioned in the newspaper today, Frito-Lay and Hot Lips Pizza and what have you, have taken it upon themselves to ban the use of cell phones while driving for the safety of their employees. There's also financial benefit to the state that should not be overlooked here. The state of Hawaii was sued successfully for $7 million because a woman ran through a crosswalk, killing a man right in front of her while she was on a cell phone. So I would ask that everybody pay attention here. Not only that, when last year a woman drove off the Morris, it's not that she's a woman, madam, it's a person drove off the Morrison Bridge, hung a right turn into Willamette River. It's a feat that's impossible. She was on a cell phone. But the cost to the city of saving her is what I'm talking about. There's risk to firefighters, there's risk to police people, and it costs a lot of money to go in that water and get her, and she survived. She was a very fortunate woman. And on Broadway Drive, a truck driver 2 years ago ran up the back of a small vehicle, causing it to catch on fire, immolating the driver in front of him, and the driver of the truck said, you know, I'm sorry, I was distracted, I was on a cell phone. So I'm coming to the end here. You'll see me quoted in the Oregonian as anticipating the forces of evil who will be down here opposing your attempts to restrict distracted driving or anything else with cell phones. I will just point out to you that my metaphor for forces of evil means anybody who has a financial incentive to trump the public safety for their own best interests from a financial standpoint. So I would be careful. The Oregonian talks about the insurance industry doing its own studies. Well, why would they do that, and what did they say? And you just heard Washington, D.C. say they had to go to Australia, for God's sake, to conduct this research because the cell phone industry in this country would not provide the support to find out what's really going on. So, having said all that, I would ask you to say to decide this. Whether or not you buy all of the data, some of the data, a percentage of the data, I would say forget that a minute. Just think for a moment that even though there's only 4 out of 430 people who are killed that are on a cell phone that you could tell were on a cell phone, just consider that you knew for sure that the next person injured by someone talking on a cell phone was somebody you know, somebody in your family. You would do everything possible to prevent that from happening. And I'd like to say in closing, this is your chance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Covington. Are there questions for the committee?
Madam Chair, I just want to thank Mr. Covington. As he stated, he first was working with Senator Ringo when Senator Ringo was in during the interim. Senator Ringo asked me to work with Mr. Covington. The other bill that we talked before we came on record is one that was introduced through the interim Judiciary Committee at his request.
I appreciate that, and I'm familiar with that bill, Mr. Covington. We just wanted to keep things narrowed down as much as we could, but the substance of your bill will be very much included in the conversation.
Thank you for your time. Happy Valentine's Day.
You too, Mr. Covington. Thank you. Okay. Now we'll get Jordan Rash from my staff and Troy Costellas from Oregon Department of Transportation. And Senator Beyer, Mr. Costellas is the one you'll want to ask the question about the statistics that you have. I asked my staff member, Jordan, to come up here and present the results of a study because he did research on it in the interim, and I just want to get the study on the record. The study itself is in the hands of our committee administrator if anybody would like a copy of it. So, Jordan, why don't you lead off?
Thank you, Chair Burdick. Members of the committee, my name is Jordan Rash. I'm a resident of Salem, Oregon, and graduate of Willamette University. And as Chair Burdick has previously stated, that I am one of her legislative assistants. And I'm here to present some information to you on three peer-reviewed studies conducted on the effects of driving while using a cell phone, which are being passed out to you right now. The first study I provide to you is entitled Driven to Distraction, dual task studies of simulated driving and conversing on a cellular phone. It's written by David L. Strayer and William A. Johnson of the University of Utah. The study was published in 2001 in a peer-reviewed journal article, Psychological Science. This shows two things relevant to this legislation. When participants are engaged in cell phone conversations, they miss twice as many simulated traffic signals as when they were not talking on the cell phone and took longer to react to those signals that they did detect. And B, these deficits were equivalent for handheld and hands-free cell phone users. And that's part of the conclusion of that particular study. This study shows that the use of hands-free cell phone systems has no effect on improving driver inattention when compared to using a handheld cell phone. So the inattention for a person on a cell phone is the same for a person on a hands-free cell phone system. Some states are allowing hands-free devices, which I believe has already been previously attested to by previous testimony, in lieu of a handheld system, under the false assumption that these systems improve driver inattention. This study also shows that drivers, while operating cell phones, are more likely to miss external stimuli, like traffic signals, than drivers who are not engaged in cell phone conversation. The second study I brought for you today is entitled Cell Phone-Induced Failures of Visual Attention During Simulated Driving, written by David L. Strayer, Frank A. Drews, and William A. Johnston, again of University of Utah. Found that not only were cell phones a distraction causing participants to miss traffic signals, but also responsible for participants missing other stimuli from their external environment. They looked particularly at billboards, things of that nature, signs. People, they said they would look right at these signs and billboards and have no recollection of what they saw. Strayer et al. State that the data collected in their study affirms the hypothesis that the cell phone conversation disrupts driving performance by diverting attention from the external environment associated with the driving task to an engaging internal context associated with the cell phone conversation. This suggests that cell phone conversation not only diverts attention from traffic signals, as shown in the 2001 study, but also from external stimuli. This would include things such as pedestrians, obstacles on the road, stationary vehicles, and so on. The third and final study I'm presenting to you today is also by Strayer, Drews, and Johnston, which compares the cell phone driver to the legally drunk driver. Presented at the second International Driving Symposium on Human Factors in Driver Assessment, Training, and Vehicle Design in July 2003, Strayer et al. Used the same research methods as in their other studies, found that the reaction time for a person driving while on a cell phone is slower than a person who is driving 0.08 blood alcohol content. And for your reference, they got them drunk using 40% vodka mixed with orange juice, known as a screwdriver, in case you were wondering. Within this study, researchers kept track of the number of accidents within a simulation, and the simulation is what's known as a high-fidelity simulator. Essentially, it's a wraparound system, so you can see left and right. So there'd be cars in your peripheral, just like when you're driving, and they move around, but the only car that you actually ever interact with is the one directly in front of you, which would generally break, things of that nature. So, just for your reference. When the participants were intoxicated to 0.08 level, they drove more aggressively, followed more closely to the car in front of them, and braked with more force than a driver using a cell phone. However, no participants under intoxication hit any cars in front or around them. In the simulations where drivers were engaged in cell phone conversation, they followed farther away, drove more slowly, but the reaction time was approximately 0.15 seconds slower, or 150 milliseconds slower than the intoxicated simulation, resulting in 3 accidents out of the 41 trials. They conducted 41 trials with a person drunk, 41 trials person on a cell phone, and 41 trials just driving without any kind of distraction. So, researchers also tested the use of both handheld and hands-free cell phone systems, and again found no significant difference between the two groups, so they collected them together into the 41. While this is certainly not an argument for driving drunk, this study presents compelling evidence that shows the poor reaction time of a driver engaged in cell phone conversation. If you look at table 1 within that third handout, it's marked with a 3 in the circle on top of the first page. which is listed on page 20 of this study, the fourth page of your handout, you will see that the break onset time for a person under the influence of alcohol is 888 milliseconds. The onset time for a driver using a cell phone is 1,022 milliseconds, which is 134 milliseconds slower than the intoxicated driver. So assuming these drivers are traveling 60 miles per hour, the drunk driver will travel about 79 feet, and I did the math. I'm a politics person, so that was my major, Willamette, so it might be a little off, but I think it did pretty good. The drunk driver will travel about 79 feet before he or she applies the brake. The driver on a cell phone will travel 90 feet before applying the brake. In combination, these studies suggest that drivers while using a cell phone are less aware of external stimuli than drivers not on cell phones and thus react more slowly to these stimuli. So to sum up, these studies have shown that drivers on cell phones often miss or are oblivious to external stimuli such as signs and stoplights, pedestrians, things of that nature, react more slowly to these stimuli than drivers who are not on cell phones, and the use of hands-free cell phone system has no positive effect on driver's reaction time. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have for me.
Thank you. Good job, Jordan. Do you all have any questions? Thank you. Mr. Costellas, did you want to make some remarks or just answer questions?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Jordan,
members
stay
of the committee.
There. Why don't you stay there?
My name is Troy Costellas. I'm the Administrator of the Safety Division for the Oregon Department of Transportation. And in listening to the prior conversation, I think I can answer some of the questions that may have been brought up or asked of previous presenters. First, to the chart that you received that has the crash statistics. First, I want to highlight for you that these are numbers that basically will be underreported numbers. The fatality number we're fairly confident in because of fatality crash, you have law enforcement that shows up on the scene, investigates witnesses, and et cetera. But for injury crashes and property damage crashes, very often the only report that comes in on that crash is the two drivers or the drivers involved, no law enforcement at all. So when you look at driver error, you look at things such as use of cell phone in the crash, this is going to be underreported because people aren't going to admit it. To Senator Byer's question earlier, which is why the change between 2002 and 2003, and that was a change in collecting the data. 2002 and prior, the only time cell phone use would be listed is if the driver involved admitted it in the form or police officer put it in their report. Starting in 2003, started to capture when another person involved in the crash brought it up as a witness versus the person themselves admitting it or also being in a police report. So it captures a third-party element starting in 2003 that was not there before. To the studies that have been brought up prior as well, one thing I would just to highlight in all of the pieces that are there would ask that you recognize in there is just that it's kind of what was in the press the last few weeks, and I got asked about this, is that dealing with cell phones, involved in a conversation, you can test yourself in your office or at home. When you're on the phone with somebody, do you notice the things right around you? The picture on the wall, where your family is, whether it's dark or light outside. What happens when you're on the phone, you disassociate with things that are in your immediate surroundings at times. Not all the time, but it is a frequent occurrence. And the issue of why some of the reaction time that you are hearing about was brought up is the fact to reassociate with the things around you and your surroundings in order to identify what's going on in driving, and particularly at higher speeds, you go quite a bit before you recorrect yourself. The last item that I haven't heard brought up on any of the studies yet is that the National Transportation Safety Board recently published a finding in relationship to young drivers. And in this state, we have a provisional license with young drivers. We require them to go through training. They have no passengers. They can't drive at night. One of the things that the National Transportation Safety Board is saying is in that time where a new driver is learning how to drive, here's another potential distraction from them learning good behavior, is to eliminate the ability to use cell phones, text messaging devices during that provisional stage in order to keep that time more clean and more direct to learning the driving task. And I haven't heard anybody talk about that, and I don't know if anybody, based on your witness list, will bring that up. But that's a national group that also did a study, but specific to young drivers and trying to get them to learn the best behavior while behind the wheel the first time. With that, Madam Chair, try to answer any questions that I can.
Thank you. Would you be able to provide copies of that study for our record?
Yes, I will, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? our my honorable vice chair. Thank you both very much. Okay, now we'll hear from John Clay. He's still here. Mr. Clay gave up. We will hear from Scott Bricker. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Scott Bricker. I'm the Policy Director for the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and represent the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, so bicyclists and walkers. And I'm passing around, there are actually two pages here that I'm passing around. The BTA and the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition are both nonprofit organizations, and with the interest, most clear interest of protecting and ensuring the safety of bicyclists and walkers in the state of Oregon. We support both of these bill concepts, and we think that they both have their strengths, but really the distracted driver one is being more comprehensive is something that we're very interested in. To keep it quickly, you've probably heard these statistics already, 42,000 people a year dying on the nation's roadways. And in Oregon, and actually nationally, automobile-related crashes are the top cause of death and major injury for every age group 1 through 34. This is a huge issue that's an underreported issue and something that that we're very concerned about. We also, through survey work and working with bicyclists and walkers, have heard that traffic safety is the top concern for operations of both bicyclists and pedestrians. And so, therefore, to sum it up really briefly, this is something that we support strongly. We understand that some of these behaviors are just commonplace from the driver's standpoint, but think that these are things that need to be dealt with to increase safety for families, children, to increase bicycling and walking to school, to increase safety in town centers, regional centers, shopping areas, neighborhoods, and, of course, the freeways. So, keep it brief. I'll just wrap it up with that and say that we support and to see if there are any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there questions, Mr. Bricker? Thank you for coming.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now we will hear from Ken Armstrong from the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ken Armstrong, and I'm here representing, actually wearing a number of hats, Oregon Fire Chiefs Association, Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, Oregon Volunteer Firefighters, and also the Port of Portland. Mary Botkin from Ask Me was going to be sitting up here with me on this issue. She had to run to another meeting, so extends her apologies. But representing corrections employees and also emergency road crews, we were going to sit here and pretty much say the same thing. Madam Chair, this bill from the public safety side of things, I think it takes a very good step towards improving the safety of the roadways. Anytime that we've got fewer accidents occurring on the roadways and on the highways, that's a good thing. That puts fewer public safety personnel at risk. Obviously, hurts fewer of our citizens. One thing we would be a little bit concerned about wanting to explore with you is the possibility of going a little bit further in clarifying the public safety exemption. Senate Bill 521 on line 17, it does not apply to ambulance or emergency vehicle. We would like to see that exemption extended a little bit further to public safety and public service personnel when they're performing professional or volunteer duties. For example, if you've got a chief officer, if you've got a volunteer firefighter who is responding perhaps to an emergency situation, perhaps not, but within the context of their professional or volunteer duties, and maybe having that response in their private vehicle, we think that is something where the exemption might be extended to. They operate cell phones, two-way radios, using mobile data computers, that sort of thing, in the conduct of business, and we think that's an important thing to extend to our public safety personnel. That's what we're after. We'd be happy to work with the committee, with staff on any specific language, and certainly be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very happening and for suggesting that. I think that's a reasonable suggestion. I'll ask you to work with council to develop some language that would deal with that situation. Question?
Happy to, Madam Chair.
Senator Prezansky.
Yeah, I think since we brought up some other exemptions, I think also we want to look at those who have certain type of licenses, FCC licenses, where you have ham radio operators. A lot of those individuals are also doing what we may consider volunteer, first responder, emergency type of work. Those type of systems are ones that are usually a handheld mic, but they have speaker stuff, and usually, I guess, made part of the vehicle. In the sense, it's not mobile unit type of equipment. And I know that people that are on the coast that I work with through the police department over there have raised these issues, as well as making sure those type of exemptions. Because there are a lot of people that will volunteer their time, have the expertise, but they need to be able to communicate with a dispatcher.
And we have some of those signed up, and I thought we'd take some panels of people who want to make those kinds of suggestions. So are there other questions of this witness? Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, now we have some people who have signed up who look like they're in amendment mode on this, so I'm going to just work my way down the list and bring it up in groups of three. Craig Campbell, Roger Martin, and Bob Hall. Get start off here. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm here representing AAA Oregon and our more than 600 members that are here in the state of Oregon. Most of the comments that I'm going to be making today would also apply to Senate Bill 521, so I'm only going to be referencing the other bill, but it certainly would apply to 521 as well. AAA obviously shares the concerns about the adverse impact on driver safety that is created when a driver operates a motor vehicle while they're distracted. Evidence from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, has clearly identified that cell phone use is a distraction while driving. You've certainly heard plenty of testimony to that effect today. AAA as an organization believes that it has the responsibility to encourage our members to drive safely as possible, and has developed brochures to encourage safe driving conditions by reducing the number of distractions presented while operating a motor vehicle, and those are the ones that you have in front of you that you're probably just receiving. Especially for those who are frequent commuters or who are engaged in long road trips, distractions are present quite often. I know it was made jokingly, but also being the father of two daughters, I've gone through the experience of having them in the back seat, and trying to avoid it being a distraction is often more difficult than learning how to drive in the first place. The use of the cell phone is certainly one of the distractions, but perhaps the most recognizable, largely because it's very clear to other drivers, because you see them being used, and because it is a fairly new phenomenon. It's becoming less and less new, you look 5-10 years back and you wouldn't see people driving around with cell phones, and obviously now is a new phenomenon, you see them. Senate Bill 293 seeks to ban the cell phone used while operating a motor vehicle unless it's equipped with a hands-free device. And in July of last year, AAA, as part of its voter survey, asked whether there was support for such legislation, and we found that there is, in fact, support for a ban on cell phone, with a split of 62% in favor and 34% opposed. And in addition, there was 51% support for allowing hands-free devices with such a ban, and 44% opposed to that sort of a provision. And I'm not going to suggest that you're swayed by that sort of thing, but I thought it might be helpful for you to know that at least there was general public support for that sort of an action. AAA recognizes that where the use of a cell phone is a distraction, there are circumstances where, because of a variety of reasons, it may be prudent to make exceptions. And as a result, we have some concerns about the breadth of the bill as it's currently written. The bill provides no exception for the use of two-way communication devices by a number of public and private sector service providers that need, as a matter of course of their business, to maintain communications while they're driving. From AAA's direct experience, this includes tow trucks and other roadside service vehicles and crews for whom an en route communication is critical for them to locate the AAA member who may have requested the assistance. Of course, it doesn't take long to think of other providers as well who need similar en route capabilities, such as dispatched services, cab drivers, transit buses, utility repair vehicles, and road crews who often require the ability to communicate with their dispatchers en route to make sure they arrive at the right location, but also once they have identified where that destination is, to communicate with people who are on site to give them as much information as possible so that they're able to deal with the circumstances when they arrive. Historically, it's been limited to old-style press and talk radio control devices. Cell phones have, in some sectors, replaced those systems because of their ability to communicate directly with those in need. Most dispatch systems are by radio, and you obviously can't patch in the person who's called in for the service. So cell phones often serve that purpose. In addition to that, a cell phone allows the person who's in the tow truck, as an example, to leave the tow truck and still remain in communication with dispatch, whereas most radio control devices don't allow that. So AAA is actually going to request the possibility of two amendments to the bill. The first is a clear exemption of what may be referred to as a half duplex device. That really means you click the button, you talk, and you can't listen. You've released the button, you can listen. It's your typical CB sort of radio. The second amendment would be to exempt certain types of potential users who require the use of cell phones for dispatch purposes and other related needs to conduct their business. And I need to differentiate, should not exempt those people who merely choose to conduct business while they're in their car over a cell phone. And Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your time. And if you have any questions, I would certainly be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. You've covered your concerns and a couple others that are on their way up. So thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you. Mr. Martin.
Madam Chair, my name is Roger Martin. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Transit Association. I'll be very brief. Let me just quote from a letter that was sent to Senator Posansky. He probably hasn't had time to see it yet because it was mailed yesterday. But it's from Lane Transit District. It summarizes bus operators' problems. LTD and most of our members prohibit the use of cell phones when driving any vehicle for personal use. However, transit operations require communications between the operators and the operations center. Buses are equipped with two-way radios, similar to what's already been described, and data terminals that are used to communicate information that is critical to the safe and efficient operation of the transit system. Typical communications between supervisors and bus operators include connections for passengers, medical emergencies, accident reporting, lost items, billfolds, purses, keys, route detours, passenger safety, security assistance, and incident reporting. It is critical that LTD and other bus operators maintain communication with its operations in the field to ensure the system operates safely and reliably. We would request an additional exemption in Section 2, Sub 3, that would allow public transportation employees to use employer-issued mobile communication devices in the course and scope of duties, and we'll be happy to work with the staff.
What was that last part you said?
In the course and scope of their duties.
Okay, that's...
As bus operators, not for personal use.
Not for personal use. Okay, thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I actually have that. If you want a copy, I'll get my office to send one down to you.
Great. If you would put that in the record, Senator Posansky, we'd appreciate it. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, Mr. Hall.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Robert Hall, and I'm representing Portland General Electric here today. I think most of the things that I was going to bring up, or we were going to bring up, are pretty well covered here today. The main issue PGE has, and I think most utilities have with this bill, is the prohibition of the apparent prohibition of the two-way communications. All of our line trucks have got two-way radios in them, many of them used in conjunction with cell phones. This is, you know, paramount to getting the line crews to the right place at the right time with the right equipment. There's often times when our crews are in the field, on the way to a job, there's been a traffic accident, they got lines down, we've got to divert somebody to get to there, so I'd be very interested in working with someone to, on an amendment, would take care of this. I'll also add that, what has been brought up by the previous speakers, that while using these communication devices, within the course of their business is an issue that needs to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you for putting that on the record. Thank you very much. Now we'll take Al Elkius from the Oregon Tow Truck Association, Bonnie Altus from Amateur Radio, and we'll bring up Amy Joyce from ODOT, give the other perspective from Oregon Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Al Elkins with the Oregon Tow Truck Association. I just want to echo Bob, the previous speaker from PGE, and also Mr. Campbell's exemption for commercial use. We use two-way radios. We also use cell phones for our activities, as well as Senator Brzezinski pointed out, handhelds. And we would like to be able to continue to use those without penalties. So if some type of exemption could be crafted for commercial use, we would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Elkins, and I'm sorry I murdered your name here.
That's okay.
I misread your handwriting. Questions from the committee? Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Bonnie Altus, and I'm representing the Oregon section of the American Radio Relay League, the National Association of Amateur Radio. And I'm speaking to SB 293. Our current concerns have been mentioned by Senator Brzezinski, and a couple of my associates were able to meet with Senator Beyer yesterday. My amateur call sign is AB7ZQ, and I've been licensed since 1997 with a FCC-issued call sign, extra class, which is the highest class you can obtain. We have to pass a written exam covering radio electronics, operating procedures, antenna propagation, and a variety of topics in order to obtain our FCC-issued license. And we feel that operating an amateur radio transceiver is very different from operating a cell phone. You don't have to hold anything up to your ear. You're transmitting only a very small portion of the time. Most of the time you spend listening. And we also, many of our members are very committed to public service and assisting with communications during a variety of public events such as Cycle Oregon, Hood to Coast, Rose Festival, and those organizations are very dependent on our members volunteering to assist, watching for emergencies, and assisting with operations while everything is going smoothly. And many of them do operate their equipment mobile while they're assisting in those situations. We've provided amendment language that we would like to see inserted into the Senate bill. And thank you.
Okay, who told you that the chair goes on Cycle Oregon?
I didn't know that. It's a big event.
It certainly is. I've been on four of them. Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions from the committee?
That was a plant, no doubt.
I suspect Senator Brzezinski. Go ahead and admit it. Okay, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation. Chair Burdick, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity. Most of what I had to say has already been said, so I'll just hit the high points. Both of these bills would impact Department of Transportation operations. Our maintenance folks out in the field, most of them are a single person in a truck or a vehicle. They need to be speaking on a two-way radio for dispatch, for safety purposes, sometimes coordinated snow plowing where you have staggered snow plows going down the highway. They need to be in constant communication. So it's a safety issue. And also the two-way radios, as has been discussed, is qualitatively different really from a cell phone. The conversations are extremely brief by their nature, and in fact in ODOT we use quite a bit of code to you just give out a string of numbers to the dispatch. They know what those numbers mean and the conversation's over. So quick conversations using code related to the job for safety purposes. We're asking for that you would support an amendment for public works operations, maintenance operations in the course of those duties, and that would help out ODOT in our maintenance operations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Our last witness today is Bob Russell from the Oregon Trucking Association. I would have had you up on the panel, Mr. Russell, but I overlooked your name. I've got quite a few of them in front of me, so my apologies.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bob Russell. I'm president of the Oregon Trucking Association. Safety is the most important consideration to my association and my members, and we strongly promote anything that improves highway safety, as we would support a ban of the use of cell phones by people operating motor vehicles. However, we are concerned with the definition because, like a lot of other folks that have testified before me, we do use two-way communication radios. And we don't believe that those offer the same level of a distraction, and we'd like to be able to continue to do that. That's for dispatch, same purpose that other folks are doing as well. I'd also point out that that's sort of a definitional issue. The hands-free devices, our observation is that most of them are not, in fact, hands-free, that you have to use your hand to activate them or something of that nature. So that maybe would be something that would be positive to clarify. But we support the ban on cell phones and would like to see an exemption for two-way radios.
Okay, and I assume that you are supportive of the same conditions the previous witnesses gave, which is for business purposes.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Russell? Thank you very much. 10-4. Okay, well, this has been a great discussion today. First of all, is there anybody else who has not been called up who would like to testify? Okay, thank you very much. Before I close the hearing, just a little comment from the chair here. This has been the start of a conversation I presume will be ongoing further on in the session. And I think I speak for the entire committee that whatever we do, our focus would be on promoting safety if we take any action in any bill. So the people who have testified in favor of exemptions that actually promote public safety, whether it be snowplows or emergency vehicles or whatever, they'll certainly have a receptive ear. Because I think we all know what kind of behavior we're trying to get at here and what kind of accidents and events we're trying to prevent. So with that,
Madam Chair,
Mr. Senator Beyer.
Before we close the committee, we heard a couple of differing opinions, I think, as to either the way this Senate Bill 521 is written or the way it's intended to be written versus and speaking specifically to whether or not just the simple use of a cell phone would be probable cause to pull a person over. And I guess Representative Olson is not here. You are also a co-sponsor of the bill. I guess I'd like to know what your intent is on it, and if it is the intent to not that they just a cell phone use would be probable cause to pull someone over. I think the bill needs to be changed just to signify that, because I think Senator Kozanski and counsel both said that they think it, the way it's written, it would be.
Well, and Senator Beyer, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm a co-sponsor, and Representative Olson and I think we disagree on what the bill actually does. I would prefer that it be structured in such a way, if we can really narrow down specific things, whether it's cell phones or eating or whatever, if we can narrow it down on the basis of data that those things are a problem no matter what the behavior is, then I would like to list those and have those be probable cause. That would be my preference in this bill. I don't believe the bill does that right now. I believe the bill is, as it's structured right now, does depend on driving behavior, swerving around or hitting something or something like that. And so what my intent would be, the reason I signed on to this bill was I wanted to have two approaches before this committee, one directed solely at cell phones where we do have some data, and others directed at a broader range of behavior, which common sense will tell you is a problem. I mean, somebody reaching down on the floor to pick up something, obviously common sense would tell you that's a problem.
Oh, well, I guess you haven't clarified, because I think our counsel would disagree with your interpretation of this bill. So
right.
I'd like to have that clarified, what the intent of the bill is, and so we would know that beforehand. Also, I find it interesting that everyone, the last six or seven witnesses, all want to come up and exempt themselves from the bill if it includes mobile communication devices. That's very interesting, and we seem to want to accommodate people if they have a lobbyist here that can come and speak for them. But I think of the hundreds of thousands of people out there who use their cell phones, and I don't happen to have mine with me today, but in the course of doing business. And it's the same thing that these people all want an exemption for, using a mobile communication device in the course of doing business. Why would we exempt them and not the single person contractor or Christmas tree grower, whatever it is, if he's using the mobile communication device in the course of doing business? What's the difference between them and an ODOT employee or a truck driver or a PGE employee or who else was just here? I find it ironic that, you know, if we're going to exempt people for in the course of doing business, let's not pick and choose winners in the course of doing business. Make it a blanket exemption for that issue.
Well, and that's, I think a lot of what we struggle with in this committee and others of our committees is where to draw the line, where to make the balance, because anything you do is going to, and I am one of the, this thing is with me everywhere, and so I'm one of those affected on this bill, and so it's with mixed feelings I even talk about this, but whatever we do, it's going to be a balance between people having the convenience of using one of these things and safety. And it, you know, the job of this committee is to figure out where to draw that line. So thank you all for coming. It's been an interesting discussion. Senate Judiciary is adjourned.